So we are reflecting today on the theme, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of Hosts. And we are also celebrating our memory of Sister Barbara, our spiritual mother, our co-founder. I think Sister Barbara would like this idea that on her death anniversary, we would focus on the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I think she would like that. And she would also love the liturgy, so she would like that we pick out a theme from the liturgy. But we're also honoring her, her death anniversary is really tomorrow. Her third death anniversary is tomorrow. But since we don't have any gathering here tomorrow, we're celebrating it one day in advance. So let's start with the experience of Isaiah. Today's first reading, this is the call of Isaiah, the encounter that Isaiah had with the Lord. It's quite a mysterious little story. He has this vision of the Lord on a very high throne. And the garments of the Lord are so big that they fill up the whole temple, the train of his garment. And then, not only to see the Lord, and he doesn't describe the Lord, he only describes his garment. But then he says there were these angels, seraphim, who were stationed above the Lord and who were crying out to one another, maybe singing, I don't know, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, all the earth is filled with his glory." And at the sound of that cry or that acclamation of the holy angels, the seraphim, it says that the frame of the door shook like an earthquake and the house was filled with smoke. So it was a very mysterious and frightening experience for Isaiah. Now, what's Isaiah's reaction when he sees the Lord and sees these mysterious beings, the seraphim. Seraphim, by the way, very hard to describe. Sometimes they are described as something like flames. If you look at a fire, there's flames, right? And the flames move around like they're alive, but you can't touch them. They can't do it. They're kind of there, but they're not really there. They disappear, and then they move, and then they get bigger, and they get smaller. That's one way of thinking about what seeing a seraph is like, or seeing the seraphim. It's like looking into a fire. Well, as is often the case in the scriptures, when someone sees an angel, the reaction is not joy and delight, how great it is to see something so beautiful. The reaction is, oh no. What does Isaiah say? Woe is me. That's not how we usually talk in English, but I don't know how it would sound in Tagalog. Aray? Or I don't know. What would be the reaction? Oh no. Like, this is something terrible. This is something terrifying. I am doomed, he says. I'm doomed. Why am I doomed? Because I'm not worthy to be in the presence of the holiness of God and the holiness of the seraphim. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. There's no way we can put together the holiness of God and the uncleanness of me and the people. As I was reflecting on this, I remember an incident from long ago, years ago. I was at a restaurant, a bunch of us are on the table, and after the supper, the waitress came to serve coffee. So she pours the coffee, little coffee cups on the table, and pours the coffee into the cups. And one of the men picked up his cup, and the bottom of the cup fell off. And so, because the coffee didn't spill on anyone, thanks be to God, it was hot, very hot coffee. But they, of course, spilled on the table and in the saucer. And he was holding the handle and the circle, and he looked through it like that. All of a sudden, he had nothing in his hand, the cup failed to contain the coffee. The cup just fell apart. I think that's something like Isaiah. No? He couldn't contain the hot coffee of seeing the seraphim. He felt like that the bottom is going to fall out of me, like that. Well, what happens? Well, in response to this awareness Isaiah has that he can't contain this mystery of God, this mystery of flaming holiness, the Lord gives a response. He says, okay. He sends one of the seraphim to take an ember, a live coal, touches his lips with the coal, and he says, well, now I'm purifying you. I'm purging you of all your wickedness, so now you can contain me. It's something like if you see the coffee cup, someone takes some fire or maybe some mighty bond or something, glues the cup back together so that the cup can really hold the hot coffee. And that's what happens. And so Isaiah says, well, if God makes it possible for me to endure this holy image, well, then it's possible. And then when the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then Isaiah can say, okay, if you make it possible for me, I'll go. If you are the one who calls me, I'll go. If you're the one who sends me, I'll go. But if you're asking me on my own, impossible. I can't hold the hot coffee. Okay, so that's the story of the call of Isaiah. One way we can see how this connects to us is that when we come to the Holy Mass, we actually repeat some of the words of the seraphim in the Mass. You probably recognize it. Holy, holy, holy. The seraphim say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. What do we say in Mass? Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory, right? Same idea. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coffee cup that can hold the hot coffee of the gospel. Hosanna in the highest. So we sing this every single Mass, or say it every single Mass. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. What we're doing there is we are acknowledging in the heart of the Mass, right before the Eucharistic prayer, we're acknowledging that we're in the presence of someone far beyond our capacity to contain. And that's why we kneel down. Right after we sing the Holy, Holy, right? We kneel down. Oh, we're not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord, but he makes us worthy. So he purges us. Okay. So that's the experience of Isaiah, and that's our experience at the Holy Mass. Let's reflect a little bit on the experience of Sister Barbara, our beloved sister. All of you who are here know her. I think most of you know her very well. You know how much she loved the Lord. Now, I don't know if she ever saw seraphim. She never said anything about that. But she knew Jesus from a very young age. She had a personal encounter with Jesus. She had a friendship with Jesus. And she felt that blessing very deeply her whole life. She knew, she didn't think she was worthy. She didn't think she could. She was like the coffee cup that wouldn't be able to hold the holiness of God. But she didn't think she was worthy, but she knew that Jesus loved her. And she often said what she wanted other people to have was that friendship with Jesus. She wanted other people to know what she knew. And that's what she dedicated herself to. She had lots of experiences in the world. Remember, she lived in the world as a young woman. And then the Lord called her for himself. So she again felt unworthy of it, but if that's what the Lord wants, that's what I'll do. Something like Isaiah. If you're going to send me, Lord, then here I am. Here I am. And so she left the world and entered into a religious community that was dedicated to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, which is what the angels are dedicated to. Adoration. Huh? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament. So that's how she was called. Out of the world into a life of adoration, like Isaiah. But then she also loved adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. That's why she always encouraged everyone to spend time in adoration. She loved it. But she also had this sense that this shouldn't just be only for us cloistered religious. This should be given to more people. This should be shared with everybody. This should be made known. She didn't know how to do that. She just had this sense that this gift should be given to other people. And then, with that stirring in her heart, and this message that she received from Our Lady, right? We'll begin December 8th. She met Father Francis, and she said, "Oh, this Father Francis, he has something that makes it possible for people to experience the richness of the life of the Church. You don't have to be in the convent." And that's what happened, as you know, with the founding of the Anuwim community. The richness of the life of the Church, at least this is the effort of Anuwim, right? The richness of the life of the Church to be shared by everybody. The liturgy is for everybody. The Mass is for everybody. The Word of God is for everybody. How can we contain this? We're all like a coffee cup. We're like a coffee cup that can't hold everything. Well, God is the one who makes it possible. And Sister Barbara always knew this. Yes, she'd be willing to say yes to God, but she also knew by herself she couldn't do anything. So that's a good message for all of us, and I think she would want to remind us of this. Remind us of the holiness of God. The holy is the Lord of hosts. And he's worthy of praise and adoration. You know what it says on her tombstone, with the image of the Lamb? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. How does it say it? No, I can't remember exactly the word. How does it go? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor. Anyway, we have to go look at the tombstone after Mass, and we bring our flowers there. But that was her conviction. That God is worthy. He's holy. We are not worthy, but we're chosen. God chooses unworthy people. He chooses unholy people, makes us worthy, makes us holy, gives us a commission to serve him. So what's our response to be? Yes, we say, yes, we're not worthy, but the response is, and this is what Isaiah tells us, well, if you are the one sending me, here I am. Here I am. Send me. That's what Isaiah said. That's what Sister Barbara said. That's what we are all invited to do. Put our trust in God, not in ourselves, and say, here I am. Send me.